it's all about. So let me get up here to the top of the hour and do this station ID. As always, it's a joy to be here on the air with you today. I'm Pastor Marsha, along with Betty and Cindy, James and Maya. Hang on. Here we go. All right. I should have done hit it quicker. And so it was saying AM 1300, 1340, AM 15. Whoa, what did I say in there? What's the last one there, James? 1400? No, 1340, 1350, and 1400 AM. And on the FM, 106.1 and 104.3 FM. So what a joy to be here. This is our second hour of Living the Good Life here today with Betty Thomas, Cindy Henderson. Cindy used to be a part of us. They're both Beaconites, but from a distance, as are many Beaconites, it seems like. And Cindy moved to Idaho a few years back. How many now?
Five and a half.
Whoa, crazy. Man. haven't had one of those Cindy Henderson hugs for a long time. Wow.
It's been a while. We might be due for one.
All right, there you go. And Betty and her husband Joe and her daughter Megan, who was nine at the time, came to my church in Indiana in the late 80s. And that's where Betty and I forged our friendship and our actual prayer partnership so long ago, Betty. Doesn't seem like it's been that many years ago. But, you know, because of how old you are now, it has been a really long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has been. But you know what? You know, there was a time of separation that we had no idea where each other was at. But you know what? God brought us back together, and it's been a powerful, powerful friendship and a walk with the Lord. We've been through some valleys. We've been on the mountain and we've been in the valleys, but most of all, you know what? There's nothing more that we enjoy than praising God and giving him all the glory.
Oh, amen. Which leads me to this song. And by the way, you are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're going to get James and Maya in here after Betty goes to church. About what, you have to close off about 4:30? Betty?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we'll get you back here in just a minute. How can I keep from singing your praise? I played this morning in church. I'm sorry, but I just got to do it again. It's just been all through me all week long because God has answered some amazing prayers for me this week with a lot of real estate stuff going on, and I thank him and praise him from the bottom of my heart. How can I keep from singing your praise? Oh, let's do it again.
I hear the music ring. sing when I win. I can sing when I lose my step and I fall down again. I can sing 'cause you pick me up. Sing 'cause you're there.
Song by Chris Tomlin. We are in Acts chapter 9 if you are just joining us on Living the Good Life, and we are talking about Saul. Saul was going around persecuting the Christians, and that's why they all had to leave town and become missionaries, because Saul had this big campaign and he was taking them out and throwing them in jail. He was really messing with them. And we find in Acts chapter 9 that God just said, okay, enough's enough there, Saul. And one day Saul is headed to Damascus. And he is ready to go and grab up a bunch of Christians and round them up and throw them into jail. And there's a suddenly moment in Acts chapter 9, verse 3, that I absolutely love. Because so often we think the devil always gets by with everything. And I am here to tell you, Cindy and Betty and James and Maya, the devil does not have any power and authority over us. He tries his tricks. But you know what? First Peter 5, 8 to 11, resist the devil, and he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, and know that you have authority. Luke 10, 19, write it down if you want to know where those verses are. First Peter 5, 8 to 11, Luke 10, 19 says, Jesus said, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any way harm you. 1 John 4, 4, greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Don't tell me that these Christians weren't praying that God would get a hold of this man Saul and change his heart, because guess what happened? God got a hold of this man Saul and changed his heart. That'll preach. Amen. And so he's on the road to Damascus, and he was suddenly, there it is, dazed by a blinding flash of light. And he says, he doesn't say, what was that? What was that? Oh, my, what was that? He goes, who are you, master? I love that. He realized this is not just some lightning bolt. This is Almighty God that he's fighting against. And I love this, Cindy. I want your comments. I am Jesus, the one you're hunting down. I want you to get up and enter the city. In the city, you'll be told what to do. His companions stood there dumbstruck. They could hear the sound but couldn't see anyone. While Saul, picking himself up off the ground, found himself stone blind. They had to take him by the hand and lead him into Damascus. He continued blind for 3 days. He ate nothing and drank nothing. Amazing life change. This Saul becomes Paul and writes 2/3 of the New Testament. His life was forever changed because he had an encounter with Jesus. My life has been totally changed because of an encounter with Jesus. How about you all? I mean, all of us, right? Cindy, comment on that. And then I want to go to Betty, can get her in here before she has to leave to go to church. So Cindy, what do you think of all that?
Again, one of those things that you couldn't make that up.
Can't make that up. Nope.
I sometimes I think
God has to do things like that because subtle won't work on certain people.
A lot of us don't get subtle. Yeah.
Yeah. Something tells me that Saul/Paul, no matter what he did, he was one of those alpha personalities. You know, he was a hard charging, let's get this done type of dude. And something tells me that still small voice, he was not paying any attention to that.
Right.
So.
Are you saying God had to get his attention, Cindy?
God, yes, exactly. I was just going to say that. God had to do something drastic to get his attention. And I think that was this kind of change is, that's drastic.
Mm-hmm.
You go from persecuting Christians, killing Christians, to becoming one.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's drastic. And I was saved when I was four, so I had not really
Me
had
too.
A chance to you know, become somebody who could be noticed for the drastic change in their life when they got saved. But I, you know, this is a situation where the change was drastic and obviously extremely noticeable to people. I think God had to do something big, get his attention.
Right.
But also the people that he was in charge of.
Right. Think of all those soldiers and everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, people had to be terrified of him.
Yeah.
If you were a Christian, you avoided this guy at
right.
all costs.
That's exactly right.
So I think it had to be something big like this to let those people know as well that, hey, something's different. Something changed. And, you know, because there were people with him, this story spread quick.
Oh, yeah.
through the grapevine. You know, people knew what had happened.
Absolutely. You know, I love the fact that he's blind for 3 days, you know.
Mm.
He ate nothing, mm-hmm. drank nothing. Does it remind you of anybody else that was in dark, well, you know, in the tomb, you know, 3 days, 3 nights? And here you have Saul going through that period of time, and you got to know that all kinds of stuff was going on in his head, you know, and probably a lot of God ministering to him and Jesus talking to him. And there he is in that dark place, you know, not knowing if he was ever going to regain his sight, I'm sure. You know, Betty, talk to us. We want to get you in here before you go.
Well, you know, as I was listening to you talk, I think it was also a demonstration of Jesus' power and authority.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a deterrent for him to say, hey, let's kind of back up here a little bit and let me show you who you're working for. And with that deterrent, I mean, Lord only knows what what his intentions were at that time. But, you know, once those 3 days in total darkness,
right,
would cause anyone to rethink and reroute their mind and their heart and what they were doing. And Jesus had a purpose for him. And I agree with Cindy that, you know, he had to get his attention.
Yes.
Because I feel like that he was kind of going his own way.
Right.
And he was going the wrong way. And to be able to detour him back to where God wanted him, he had to do something drastic because
I agree.
He wasn't listening.
Right.
So once we realize who the ultimate authority is in our life, it's not us. It's Jesus Christ, and it's the Holy Spirit who help us, again, that word, decide what we're going to do.
Right.
And I want just like that song, I want to follow him.
Right.
I want him to be the guard of my life. I want him to be my salvation and to lead me in the path that he wants me to go down.
Yes.
And again, I think, I mean, that's just my little 2 cents.
Your two cents is always that powerful.
All that little section there of the scripture, and once that we realize that God is the ultimate power, and that right. we give up that that kind of let Jesus drive, let Jesus be the pilot and not the co-pilot.
Right.
Things seem to move a lot smoother in our lives, don't you think?
Absolutely. And I find this story fascinating because it shows that God sees the big picture. And when he's working on me, let's say, in a certain area, and he wants somebody else to minister to me something, he's working on them. And you see this with the case of Ananias. One of these disciples was in Damascus, and God spoke to Ananias in verse, 10 of Acts chapter 9. He spoke to him in a vision. Now, that does happen still today, people, visions. Mm-hmm. And he said, Ananias, and he said, yes, master. He knew who was speaking to him. He said specifically in verse 11 of Acts chapter 9, get up. Specific instructions. It's like Ananias was probably taking a nap or sleep at night. Get up and go over to Straight Avenue. Ask at the house, specific instructions, what street to go to. Ask at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus. His name is Saul. He's there praying. There you go. We have insight into what Saul was doing. He was not sitting there crying and babbling and going, I don't know what happened to me. I can't see. Get a doctor. No. What's he doing? He knows exactly who happened to him. He knows who happened to him. And he's praying, and the angel says, or the Spirit of God says, he has just had a dream in which he saw a man named Ananias enter the house and lay hands on him so he could see again. Betty, I got to have your insights before you walk out the door here for us.
Well, those, and I think we're going to start seeing this.
Amen.
In the days to come,
yes.
Is that specific marching orders.
Right.
Whether we will get it from a third party, whether we'll get it from the Word, whether we'll get it from our prayer time, whether the Holy Spirit will actually pay us a visit or an angel will verbally come and say, Cindy, I need you to go back to Florida for a few days to help Pastor Marcia with this. Or he will say to me, it's time to get up and go. And he will give us specific.
I agree.
I mean, he will lay it out so that we know exactly what we need to do. And
that's
I think it will happen. I believe it's happening today, listening to, different people. We had Marilyn Hickey come last week and to church and, this lady's 87 years old, and I talked about this last week.
Yeah.
Is that, God is giving her specific instructions because she has submitted herself.
Yes.
To doing exactly what the Father wants her to do.
Exactly.
And that's what he wants to do. And I believe with all my heart and all my soul that's what he wants to do for each of us. Today.
I agree. And I love Ananias's honesty in verse 13 because he goes, Master, you can't be serious. How many times have we said, oh, God, no, don't ask me to do that, no. And he goes, you can't be serious. Everybody's talking about that guy and the terrible things he's been doing, his reign of terror against your people in Jerusalem, and now he's shown up here with papers from the chief priest and gave him license to do the same to us. In other words, he's come to get us. He's come to put us in jail. And God's, this is Ananias talking, I'm telling you. And so he's saying to God, you got to be kidding me. This is the guy that's putting everybody in jail. Did you know that, God? Mm-hmm. Betty, one more time, and then we'll go to Cindy. Don't you find that fascinating? And Ananias is arguing his case, and he's going, no.
Well, I believe he had just didn't have enough faith to say, okay, God, whatever. He knew what kind of man that he was going to be facing. He had no idea what condition he was going to be in when he did find him. And the Lord told him he's been praying. So that has to tell you that somehow, some way that the Lord was dealing with him. Now it's your turn. And he wanted to show him again Jesus's power through the Holy Spirit to say, hey, guy, it's your turn. Get up, go and do what I've asked you to do. And again, specifics. Again, telling him directly what he wanted him to do. He didn't hem-haul around. He didn't say, well, if you go here, you go here, you go here, you go here, and then you turn a corner. No, he told him specifics of what he wanted him to do, but it was time for Ananias to do exactly what God wanted him to do. Again,
I love
exact,
that.
Precise, and directive. And it's, yeah, he was probably balking because he didn't realize that he had the power to do it. He didn't realize
right.
he had the power in his hands to be able to lay his hands on Saul and have him receive his sight.
Right.
People, do you realize that we have the
yes.
same power
yes.
that raised Christ Jesus
Amen.
From the dead is in our hands and in our words and the power through Jesus Christ?
Amen.
And so he did it, and God just told him, I can hear what he does with me. Don't argue with me. Do as I tell you to do.
He says that in verse 15, Betty.
He does.
The master says, don't argue, go. I love that. Don't argue, go. I have picked him as my personal representative to non-Jews and kings and Jews, and now I'm about to show him what he's in for. The hard suffering that goes with this job. In other words, Ananias, quit second guessing me. And I think a lot of times we need to hear that because
Amen.
We think
Amen.
We have it figured out. Right, Betty? I mean, so often we think that and
we
don't.
Do. We think, and I'm gonna speak for myself, that sometimes, yeah, I think I know more than God does because I know, I see it, I know what needs to be done, but he's all-powerful, all-knowing, and I just sometimes have to step out of the way. When I do, how much more smoothly it goes. I don't have to go around a mountain, a curve. I have to go down in the valley, up the mountain, over here, over there. I go right straight to where I need to go, and that's what he wants for each of us. That's what he wanted for Ananias, and that's what he told him to do. And, brother, when you do it, you're going to see a miracle. You will see miracles,
it's exactly
signs,
right.
and wonders.
And because so often we feel like, oh, that person, God, you can't use them. For whatever reason, we think that. And that's why I've got to play this song from Casting Crowns, Jesus, Friend to Sinners. And Betty, thank you, my dear friend. And I hope you find your way down to Florida to sit on the beach with me very soon. Just quit fighting God on that, Betty. Just quit fighting God. And we will see you soon.
Amen. Jesus,
thank you, Betty. Betty Thomas, my dear, dear friend. She's the mama of Megan Kramer, who is on our radio team, too. Have a great
Amen.
Service tonight. We will talk
thank
to you,
you
very soon.
Okay. Love you. Love all of you.
Amen.
God bless you all.
Thanks, Betty.
Bye, Betty.
Jesus, Friend of Sinners. Stay with us, Cindy. We're going to bring James and Maya in here in a minute. I'm going to turn their mics on.
Jesus, friend of sinners, we have strayed so far away. We cut down people in your name, but the sword was never ours to swing. Jesus, friend of sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on their way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around but never looking up. I'm so double-minded. A blank-eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners. Open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours.
To remember, we are all the least of these. Let the memory of your mercy bring your people to their knees.
Nobody knows what we're for, only what we're against when we judge the wounded. What if we put down our signs, crossed over the lines in love like you did?
Praise God. Ananias, God got a hold of his heart and he found that he was now led by mercy because he had to go minister to somebody who was killing Christians and probably maybe or jailing them at least. And of course, probably his good friend Stephen was killed at the feet of Saul. That's what it says in Acts chapter 7. Cindy comments. I'm going to turn James and Maya's mics are on now, guys, and we'll interview you here. We'll bring you in here. But Cindy, go ahead. Talk to us about this whole thing.
Well, I think he had a very human reaction. I mean, when it comes right down to it, we are human. And even the most spiritual among us is still human.
Absolutely.
And we have human reactions to human situations.
Yep.
And, you know, that's how we are. That's going to happen. The most important thing is he did what he was told.
He did. And, he obeyed. He decided. He made a decision, right? Here we are again on deciding. Yeah.
And God's big enough to handle our questions.
Yes, he is.
He's. You know, so I've heard, oh, you should never question God. Well, why not?
Right.
You know, yes, we know that he is the ultimate authority and that his will be done whether we cooperate with it or not.
But he loves to have a discussion with us sometimes, you know, about things.
Exactly.
It's what Ananias did.
What kind of a father is it that doesn't allow questions, doesn't explain a lot of times, you know, what he's doing, why he wants you to do something? Or sometimes it's as simple as, I need you to do this because I asked you to, because I said so. The reason will become clear. But, you know, he's not a dictator.
Right.
He's a father.
Right. Mm-hmm. And a loving, wonderful, merciful Savior, right?
Woo. Right.
Talk to us, James. You said to me this morning, I took this sermon a little different than you expected me to. In what regard? Now you have a listening ears. All of us can hear what you were thinking this morning.
I did some reading ahead because I knew we were studying Acts.
And, yeah.
Just the beginning of chapter 8.
Yeah.
It speaks to me in a different way. It's Saul here, and it's God using what he's doing for his glory. Here
True.
He is prosecuting Christians,
right.
stolen
right.
away and stuff. And God took this
yes.
and used it to his glory.
Yes, he
said,
did.
He said, this is how I'm going to create my missionaries.
Right. Exactly right.
I'm going to create my missionaries
right.
out of this fear these people have for him. I'm going
right.
to scatter them through this fear.
That's right.
And when they scattered, what's the next thing Jesus does? They're scattered. My missionaries is out there.
Yeah.
Now he goes to Saul.
Hey. Yeah. Right. After they were scattered. In his time.
Yeah.
Then Saul had the encounter. Not before.
Yes, ma'am.
Because had it happened before,
uh-huh.
they would have stayed in home base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like you said earlier, we as Christians, we get comfortable.
Right,
Here
we do.
Here they are in Jerusalem, you
right.
know, getting preached to, getting fed, watching all these things that are happening.
Right.
And they're comfortable.
They're comfortable.
They're sitting there, you know. They get to watch the apostles do these miracles.
Right.
Can you imagine the apostles go, okay, take what I told you and go out? Yes, yeah, some of them would have went.
Yeah,
but not all of them.
A lot of them, because they would not have had the impetus.
Mm-hmm.
Maya, get that mic a little closer to you. Do you have a comment on that? What he said, and then we'll go back to Cindy.
Well, like you said, it's a comfort thing,
right?
How many times do people say, if you want to pray out loud, go ahead and do it? Oh, I can't do that.
Right. You notice that happens at Beacon, don't you? Quite a bit when I say that.
I'm not a prayer.
Yeah, I can't praise God out loud. No,
can't do that.
Right.
Until someone says, okay, Maya, you pray. Oh, okay, Lord, thank you for this day. Let's do this. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Okay, unless somebody calls out on you, no, I can't. I'm not a prayer warrior.
That's a good
no.
point.
Don't call on me. Please don't call on me. Until somebody calls on you.
Right.
Then you're like, oh, okay, she called on me. Nah, I can't say no.
Right.
That's the same thing. God said, okay,
That's
we're going to use.
That's a good point.
Really
good
Saul.
Point. Yeah.
Saul, go, you know.
So what I hear you both saying is sometimes in life we are so struggling against something that's happening, but God sees the bigger picture again, and he knows he's going to use that and turn it around for his glory. That's what I hear you saying. Talk to us, Cindy.
Like I said, God's will be done whether we cooperate or not.
Amen.
It's just easier on us when we cooperate.
Yeah, it is. We don't suffer as much.
Right, and, you know, often the things that we are going through are not attacks from the devil.
I agree.
He will use those.
Yes.
But often the things that we are going through, we put ourselves in.
Amen.
What we're going through is a direct result of our choices, our decisions, our actions. Now, the devil is more than happy to step in, take the credit for those things and use them to make our lives even worse. But, you know, like you keep saying, God sees the bigger picture.
He does.
He sees the end of everything. He sees everything from beginning to end. He knows all the little twists and turns.
Yes, he does.
And so his will ultimately will be accomplished in our lives, in the world. It's just that we can save ourselves a lot of pain and a lot of effort if we do what he knows is best. And he's not
Are you saying if we decide to follow his leading?
It's exactly. a shortcut to our blessings.
A shortcut to his our blessings, right.
And it's not, he's not being a dictator. He sees what we're in for. He sees the future. He sees what's going to happen 10 minutes from now, a month
right.
from now.
Exactly.
And he knows that if he says, hey, need you to do this, or go this way, turn this way, then he knows that you're going to miss this, and this on your
right.
way through here. But, you know, so often we don't listen, and so we have to go through all
we do.
Those things to end up where he wanted us in the first place.
Well,
so I'd much rather, you know, go his way and
get on board, right? uh-huh. You know, and we hear people say a lot of times when they want to argue with Christians, say, well, why are bad things happening to good people? Well, mm-hmm. because we live in a fallen world, number one, where there is disease, there is cancer, there are all kinds of things. And yeah. there's all kinds of germs, everything that we are exposed to. And it's not God. God is our good, good Father. We did that song this morning, Cindy, at Beacon. And I love that song because God is mm-hmm. our good, good Father. And he sees what is best for us. But we live in a fallen world. We live in a world of bad decisions that we ourselves make. And we also yep. live in a world of disease and crime and traffic accidents. And talk to us, Maya. So we got to get on board with God's plan. Decide to, right?
Yes, and I was also
pull closer to the mic.
I was also told one time that, yes, we live in a fallen world, but also the road ahead of us may be worse than what we're in now.
Exactly,
so,
yeah.
So let's say, like, I'm always saying that right now things that are happening are just, the world right now is just disgusting. All the
right.
Amber Alerts, the kids getting murdered, just, it's,
yeah.
I can't listen to it anymore. I can't do it anymore. I can't handle it. My heart can't handle it.
Right.
But when I think past that, the road for those children or for whatever's happening may have been worse for what's going on for them now.
Right.
So God decided to take them home at an early age
mm-hmm.
than
yeah.
have them
sure.
suffer longer.
Sure. That can be the reason sometimes, yeah.
Right. Then, you know, then I have to look at that. I have to think about God's bigger picture.
Yeah,
that he
that's
sees
right.
the bigger picture in it. Then, you know, they could have been dealing with more suffering
right.
longer down the road. And God saw that. So he figured, you know what, I got to take them home now. Than to let him suffer longer.
And God allows in his wisdom, listen to this, and you can write it down if you like. It's a quote from Graham Cook, and Cindy, you're the one, you and Kim, that turned me on to Graham Cook, and I will forever be indebted to you for this. God allows, this is a quote from Graham Cook, in his wisdom, what he could easily prevent by his power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'll say that again for those who want to write it down. God allows in his wisdom what he could easily prevent by his power. One more time, if you just grabbed your pen, because this is Graham Cook, and he is an amazing teacher of the word, prophet. Oh, amazing, amazing. God allows in his wisdom what he could easily prevent by his power. Explain it to us, Cindy.
Well, he could always... he can always rescue. He has the power to.
Right. yeah, he can get us out of that mess we're in, right?
But we may not learn what we need to learn.
Yeah.
We may not meet who we need to meet.
That's right.
We may not be where we need to be if that happens. And it's just like with our kids. You want to rescue them from every situation, but there are certain ones where you just can't. You have
right.
to let them go through the consequences
yeah.
of their actions.
Yes.
So that they learn what they need to learn.
They got
to
learn.
So, you know, yeah, it would be great.
right.
From a human standpoint, you know, we think if God would always just reach down and rescue us, but... We're going to miss stuff. We're going to miss stuff.
Right. We're going to miss blessings. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
My youngest grandchild right now, number 12 is on his way. This is number 11, Joel. Joel Chase. Joel is 14 months old, and he started walking about 3 months ago or 4 months ago. And at first, I mean, the kids in Texas, they were sending, my son and his wife, Mark and Candy, were sending videos and stuff. And here he has fallen, you know. So my son, it bothered him so much, he went and got this rubberized thing and put it on their ceramic tile flooring and to cushion for the baby, you know. And yet, so what does he do? He just walks around that and goes over and falls someplace else on the tile, you know. But it's so like God. And now he's running, you know, at 14 months. Mm-hmm. He's a crazy little kid. But you know, they had to allow him to fall, get up until he, and I got some of the cutest videos of him just like a little drunk baby, you know, just kind of walking around and barely standing up, and then bam, down he goes. But that is so like us. Is it not, Maya? Mm-hmm. That's what we're saying. It is. Go ahead, James. You have a comment before I do the song?
For that statement you just made, I can't recite it, but to me, the word love just rings out there.
It is.
How are we going to love God if he just at us, makes us kneel at his,
right,
kneel down in front of him? No, it's a choice.
It's a choice.
And that's where the love comes from.
Yes.
You realize how much he loves you.
Right.
And you love him back.
God allows in his wisdom. He allows. That's the key word there. What he could easily prevent by his power, because he knows what is best for each one of us. Romans 8:28 is ringing in my heart right now. And we know, I love the way that verse starts out, Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. Now, here's the rest of the sentence. A lot of people stop right there. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Cindy, explain that before we play this song.
What we've been talking about.
That'll preach too, won't it? That'll preach.
Oh, yeah. He knows the end from the beginning.
He does.
But it's important there. He'll cause all things to work together for good to them who love God and
yes.
are called according to his purpose.
That's critical right there.
Qualifier on there.
There is.
People say one of the common things if something terrible happens, well, you know, this is all going to work out for the best. Well,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If you know God and if you know God,
right,
you're called according to his purpose. You
right.
Know? So, if you don't, it may not work out.
It may not work out real well for you. If you end up jail for 45 years, that's not really a good outcome, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But maybe during in jail you find God, so there you go, you know?
Right, yeah. And yes, God can work all things together for good for everybody, but there's that qualifier, those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So, you
that's
know,
good
and,
stuff.
Again, we don't always see it as a good thing when it's happening.
Right. You're right. You're exactly right. Okay, I keep telling you I'm going to play the song, and I am in just a minute. James, you have a comment right there on Cindy, what Cindy said?
No, ma'am. I was just making sure Maya wrote that verse down.
I'll
go back later and do some.
All right. You want to do some research on it.
Ma'am.
This song is You Never Let Go. Now tell me about that. He never does.
Amen.
He never quits trying to get us to see the right way. He never gives up on us. Woo! Love it. Love it. Let this song minister to you. If you don't know Jesus, you need to find him right now. We're going to give you that opportunity in just a moment, so don't go away.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near, and I won't fear no evil, for my God is with me, and if my God is with me,
Amen. No, he doesn't. He never lets go of us, dear one. There might be some of you out there in some part of the world, or maybe right here in Clearwater, Florida, who have been listening to the show and who say, I don't know God like you all were talking about, but I want to know him. And from time to time on this show, we give an invitation for people to accept Jesus. Do we know how many do? No, no idea. Maybe someday in heaven we'll know. Cindy, I want you to repeat the prayer after me. And if you would like to make a decision, that's what our word is today. If you want to make a life-changing decision in your life and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on a cross for me, for my sins, for my sicknesses. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I believe, I invite him into my life. If that is your desire, pray this prayer. I'm going to say it line by line as the Holy Spirit gives it to me, not something I've got printed out. And Cindy, you're going to repeat after me. And folks out there, wherever you are, this can be your moment. We have a person in our church right now who told me recently that when she got saved, it was in one of these moments when we were at our nursing home ministry, and she prayed the prayer and accepted Jesus right then in that nursing home ministry. Now she's an active part of Beacon of Hope. Now, so whoever you are out there, pray this prayer along with Cindy. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
In the precious name of Jesus.
In the precious name of Jesus.
I believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus went to the cross and died for me.
I believe that Jesus went to the cross and died for me.
I believe that Jesus can forgive all my sins and all of my problems.
I believe that Jesus can forgive all my sins and all my problems.
I believe that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead.
I decide right now.
I decide right now.
To invite you, Jesus, into my heart.
To invite you, Jesus, into my heart.
For now and forever.
Now and forever.
I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior.
I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior.
Come and live in me.
Come and live in me.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
I am your child.
I am your child.
Forgive me for anything and everything I have ever done.
Forgive me for anything and everything I have ever done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
From this moment on.
From this moment on.
You live on the inside of me.
You live on the inside of me.
This I pray.
This I pray.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Whoa, yes. Cindy, talk to us. Oh, wow. Praise God. Don't you love it when we do that and pray? And because we never know. If it's one person scattered in some country somewhere, if it's 1,500 people, it doesn't matter who it is. We are being obedient to do what God's called us to do, right?
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, God wants everyone to be saved. But it's also not it's not a numbers game for him. It says that every time someone accepts Christ, the angels in heaven rejoice. you know, so they're shouting and celebrating over just one.
Right.
And each one gets that celebration.
Woo!
So it's not oh shoot, only one. You know.
No, it doesn't matter. There's a celebration going on in heaven if somebody prayed that prayer along with you.
Absolutely.
So praise God. Praise God.
Each decision for Christ creates a ripple throughout eternity.
Amen.
Each decision, each change affects not only the person who made the decision, but everyone that they're going to come into contact with.
Amen.
The course of their lives. So.
Absolutely. Wow, we're running out of time. Cindy, I'm going to come back to you for your final thoughts in a moment. I'm going to go to you, Maya, first. Do you have something you'd like to add to this discussion or this show today?
It just goes to show that even God could use even like the evilest, nastiest person. Like, I believe that God could really change,
like Saul, even, right?
Yes, I mean, Saul was going around killing Christians, sure, and jailing them, and
right,
I mean, persecuting them, and he even changed his heart and used, right, him for good. So even like the nastiest people can still be changed and be saved and be used for God's glory. Like, there is hope for everyone and anyone. Like, even if you've been saved as a young child and you're just a strayaway,
right,
you could still change and be used. Or even, amen, if you're living your life for God and God is calling you to go in a certain direction, like Ananias or Jonah. I mean, right, come on, Jonah was in the belly of a whale.
Sure, sure.
All because God called him to go a certain way, and he said, no, not happening,
right,
and ran.
Exactly.
We all have those moments where God's like, okay, I need you to go this way, and we're like, that's not do it. Moses fought, yeah, with, argued. We all argue.
We do.
We all argue because we fear. We fear.
We do. So, I recently stumbled on a movie on Netflix, and it's called Same Kind of Different as Me.
Mm-hmm.
A marvelous movie. Absolutely amazing. Same Kind of Different, oh, yeah, as Me. And it was a New York bestseller, oh, New, yeah, York Times bestseller.
Beautiful.
Beautiful, beautiful movie. So those out there, because if you have an opportunity to watch that, it will change your life. James, final thought before we get to Cindy. We got to get out of here in about 2 minutes.
Bigger picture. Remember that. When it, yes, comes to God, he's looking at the bigger picture.
Yes,
we're seeing what's in front of us.
Right.
You know, maybe we see a few minutes ahead, but, or way behind us, but bigger picture.
Good. Great.
Remember that. Bigger picture.
Bigger picture. Thanks, James and Maya. So good to have you on the air with us today. Cindy, final thoughts here.
I think both of them just summed it up beautifully.
They did, didn't they? Yeah.
There's even for the worst offenders, there's always hope. Our church that I attend now has, we have a lot of gang members who've come and been saved.
Wow.
The gangs have declared the church ground neutral territory.
Oh, wow.
So that members can come to church.
And, wow, that's great.
Yeah, we've seen it. So
I didn't know you had gangs in Idaho. Okay.
Oh, yeah. They're,
wow,
everywhere.
Wow.
And, you know, they that's neutral territory. Their, cool, hostilities are put aside so that the gang members can come to church. So there's hope. Each of us probably has somebody in our lives that we're praying for and have,
yes,
been praying for,
yes,
for a long time that it just doesn't seem like they're ever going to get it. They're ever going to change, you know, and yet here we have a very bold and perfect example that, yes, there is hope that they
there
will
is
change.
Yes.
And what James said about the bigger picture, I think that has come through all day today.
Yes,
that,
it has.
That God sees what is ahead and we don't. It says that we see, you know, his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.
Right.
It doesn't say that it's a beacon or a telescope into the future.
Right. Exactly. So good point.
We have enough light to see what's in front of us.
That's right.
God, however, sees everything.
That's right. Woo! Good words to end up with, Cindy. Thank you so much. We love you, Cindy Henderson in Idaho, and we will talk to you soon and see you on the air here, as we like to say, soon on a show. God bless you. Thank you, thank you. And for all of you out there that would like to become better acquainted with the ministry at Beacon of Hope, we encourage you to check out our website, bohmglobal.com. And we have a ton of radio shows there for you to listen to and get acquainted with our ministry. And Sunday mornings is at 10 a.m. If you're interested in coming to church, text me at 727-888-4171, and I'll tell you all about it. 727-888-4171. Now, God bless you, and we will be right here. That's the plan. Next Sunday, right here, this same time, 3 o'clock Eastern time, and we will be bringing you the Word of God again. Our final song, It's Not Far to Jesus. Not far from the love of God. God bless every single one of you. This has been Betty Thomas from Michigan. Cindy Henderson from Idaho, James and Maya from Newport Richey, and me, Pastor Marcia, from right here in Clearwater, Florida and Palm Harbor. God bless every one of you, and we hope you'll tune in again next week. See you soon.
Safely to his side. There's no need for you.